How's everyone feeling this morning? I'm feeling the joy. And like we mentioned, life groups, we've also got, you know, we've got life groups meeting in coffee shops, life groups meeting at home, meeting at a pub, wherever you want to meet, we've got life groups. As you leave today, on that back counter by the coffee, there's sign-up sheets. So we have a connect group, which is pretty much like social, right? It's just very like chill, get to know your neighbor. Maybe you're brand new to Christianity or just brand new to C3. And you just want to get to know and have some fun. That's about. But we also have life groups. So if you're new as well, or you've been here for a while, and you just want to start digging in, there's a lot of discussion. There's some question time. You know, what do you think this means? And we try and discuss it the best we can. So that's at the back, just as you're grabbing coffee on the way out. So sign up. Lots of good-looking people like Mike. Mike's always walking out. Come on, don't get hard on yourself. You're a beautiful man. So we've been talking this month about dream chasers. And we believe the dream that God has, his ultimate dream, was when God came as a man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment are these, to love God and to love your neighbors. This fulfills everything. This fulfills all the law, right? So we believe, love God, love your neighbor. I'm going to talk a little bit more about love God this week. Mike's going to talk a little bit more about love your neighbor and how it all ties together. Because really, Christianity wasn't meant to be lived on our own. We were not meant to do Christianity as this like dry road obedience. God, I'll be a missionary for you, but like you're secretly hoping, please, Lord, just don't ask me to do it. But really, what Christianity is just walking with Jesus. And I want to start with a story. Do you know of Abraham? Previously, Abram. The artist previously known as Abram. Abraham is the father of like three different kinds of faiths. Hebrew, Christianity, Islam, right? So he's a big deal. So when we talk about him, we're going to talk today about listening for God's voice, hearing God's voice. So he's the very start. He was the son of this man who used to make sacrifices to the gods for the kings, for the rulers of the time. That's what Abraham's dad did. He would like, just to make the rain god happy, Abraham's dad would, for the king, you know, sacrifice this. Sometimes they'd sacrifice a first child of a family. Sometimes they would make a burnt offering. These are all these strange things that used to happen. Abraham was pretty much next in line to this. And the first time we hear God speak is to Abraham. So everything before Abraham was just this God in the sky that we hope we can make happy. There was like the rain God, there was the hunting God, there was the sun God, there was the water God, there was, you know, all these different ones. So all they know is this far off God. So if it's sunny, they give them offerings because it's sunny. But then it starts to get rainy, and they feel like they have to offer their sun god more offerings. They didn't know whether they're doing good, whether their offering was doing something or not. This constant state of like fear, you know? So this is the first time God talks, and he talks to Abraham, and he says, I want you to leave your father, your mother, that household, and go to a land that I will show you. Isn't that powerful? Well, I'm getting to the powerful part. And you're like, not yet. Not. So God leads him to another place. Oh, God, where was I going with this? Oh, yes. So he has a child, Isaac. We know about this, right? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knows that this God, this one that led him, is leading him away from this similar type of God, this God that always requires from you. Some would require this. Some would require like a firstborn. And he knows that's not my God. But then God comes up to Abraham, says, I want you to go to this mountain and I want you to sacrifice your son. Like, call child services first off. But, so Abraham's going to the top of this mount, and I have this hunch that he didn't believe that this was going to happen. He gets up there, in obedience, he's getting ready, he's got the knife up. God says, stop, right? He says, stop, Abraham. He says, you don't make the sacrifice. I will provide the sacrifice. So he said, you'll make the sacrifice. But he said, you won't provide your son as a sacrifice. He said, I will make a sacrifice. And he has the ram caught in the bushes, right? And he sacrifices the ram. Do you remember this story? Okay, here's what I'm coming to. This is the same story of Jesus. We know that a lot of stuff in the Old Testament is a reflection or it's a prophecy of what's going to happen in the New Testament. Everything that Jesus did came back to this first commandment. Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus, again, says, you guys, you know, he comes into this temple. Remember, he comes into the temple with a whip. He is choked that these guys are selling doves. They're selling this and that. They're trying to make these sacrifices back to God so they can make it right. And he comes in with a whip, and he's shaking things up. He's like, my house will be what? He says, my house will be a house of prayer. What you guys are doing is messing up my house. He says, you do all these things. You do all these sacrifices. And he's coming. Jesus says, I am the sacrifice. I'm it. So as we're thinking about this God who loves us, Jesus, when he gave his life for us, when he tore the veil and made it right for us to go back to God, what was that? That was him saying, get back to the garden. Get back to prayer. Get back to the two commandments. Love me and love your neighbor. That's as simple as it has to be. Anytime we feel like we have to do this, 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 God is saying, hey, wait, wait, wait. I made the sacrifice. You get back to the garden. You get back to just prayer and loving your neighbor. That's what it's all about, right? Amen. Amen. Now let's get to some notes. So we're going to talk about listening prayer today. So it's not a weird thing. Prayer is when you talk to God, and listening prayer is when you stop and you listen to God. We sometimes don't do this all the time, but I think the God who loves us would like a little bit of time in our conversation, maybe to talk to us. So when I say listening prayer, think this: be quiet and listen to what God says through God thoughts. God thoughts, we'll get to that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, this is New Living Translation, says, who can know the Lord's, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. So the first Corinthians says, we have the mind of Christ, which is exciting. That means I receive the Holy Spirit in my life. That means some of the thoughts in my head just might be God thoughts. Just might be Jesus' thoughts. Where'd my water go? Can you throw that up here? I'm like, going to start sounding like a 12-year-old boy right away. It will happen. But that's something we can weigh, and we're going to distinguish that, whether that voice is God or not. We're going to get to that as we go along today. But praying is talking to God, and listening prayer is listening. John 10:27. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Another promise we call, it's a Jeremiah 33:3. How many of you know that one? It says, call me, and I'll answer you. Or it says, ask me. Sorry. Ask me, call me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about. Things to come. This is the version I have here. Call me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and wonderful things that will surprise you. Another one. So this is, again, let's go back to going to John, that verse that we just had up there. So Jesus is saying, I want to share my life with you. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. What does it say there? My sheep listen. So it doesn't say my sheep could hear from me. Or it doesn't even say my sheep should hear from me. It's saying, my sheep listen for my voice. I know them and they follow me. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice today. I just want you to know that this isn't a thing that you have to work for again. It's actually just part of the new covenant. Yeah. Jesus told the veil, he's just a good God, and so you get to hear his voice. We're going to talk about ways that we already hear God's voice. I don't want this to be something we have to rely on Brock. But I believe you guys are actually hearing God's voice right now. And I just want to encourage you. I just want to confirm things in you this morning. So sometimes we make that 911 prayer, right? Sometimes We treat prayer like a psychic hotline. Sometimes, you know, we have these hard times and we got to go to counselor God. We got to go to this God that's going to make everything better. And we always are just giving demands. We're always just giving suggestions. Even God, I think this would be a good idea, so let's make that happen. Like, that's sometimes how we talk to God. But when we're talking about listening prayer, this is really the time where we develop a relationship with God. So how do you build a friendship? How do you make friends? So first off, what do? You go up to somebody, you ask them what their name is. You ask them, you say who you are. You say, you go and you ask them what they're excited about. You might even ask them what they're into. And then you might even, as you get the friendship going, you might even start to hear them if they're a gossipy person. You start to hear what's upsetting them. And that's okay. You start to hear what grieves them. But eventually, as you come closer in your friendship, you end up asking these questions. You say, how do you feel about me, right? That's what I do to my wife all the time. Is everything okay? How do you feel about me right now? I don't want to find out. And then you might say, here's how I feel about you right now. It's not risky for me because I just say the same thing. Always good. I always feel good about you. But you have to be a little bit risky, a little bit vulnerable in a relationship. So this week, those are just a couple questions you can be asking God. God, I'm Brock. What do you like? What are you into? I'm not even joking. Just say, Jesus, I received you into my heart. What do you like? And just listen. Another good way is going to the Word. Another good way is to listen and worship. We're going to talk about that. You can ask God what he's into. You can ask him what excites him. You can ask him, why does that excite you, God? What are the things that make his heart thrilled? Another thing you can ask him is what grieves him and why it grieves him. Because there's things on God's heart for this world that he wants to share with confidence, with friends. He wants to do life together with us, unbelievably. He could do anything, but he always chooses to use humans. I find that's one of the most remarkable things, eh? God could do anything, but he always wants to partner with humans, with mere humans, just us. I love it. So you start to ask him and you start to say, God, what do you feel about me? And it starts to become more intimate. You come close and say, here's how I feel about God. You, God, how do you see me? So this is where the intimacy, the relationship starts to grow. How many desire to hear from God in this place? Every single one of us. So today I want to share with you why I think you can hear God very well. And I just want you to be confident. So again, John 10:10. It doesn't say my sheep should hear my voice. It doesn't say my sheep could hear my voice. It doesn't say if only you were really spiritual and you fasted and prayed for days, then you would hear my voice. Because I'm pretty grumpy and you have to do X, Y, Z to hear me. His sheep hear his voice based on his own goodness, his ability to be a good shepherd. When you hear he is the good shepherd, you know what that means? He's good at it. God is a competent shepherd. Okay, so let's do a survey together. Ready for number one? Yeah. Have you ever felt drawn to the love of God? Have you ever heard his invitation to just enter his family? To become part of a family of faith? This is called the invitation. So John 6:44 says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at that last day, I will raise them up. No one can come to me unless the Father himself invites them. That means you didn't come to Jesus just because of the own little desire in your heart. You didn't just come to Jesus because you heard an evangelist or a teacher or a friend, you know, or a prophet, whatever. You didn't come to Jesus just because of that. You came to Jesus. Why? Because the Father spoke to your heart. Does that put some confidence in your heart? The wonderful thing, he keeps issuing invitations to you. So he might even put things in your heart to go to another step and maybe get baptized. This is the Lord putting little promptings in your heart. Maybe it's to join a certain church. Maybe it's to be a certain friendship. He may invite you to a place that you're called to live, to work. This is our God. Okay, second survey question, ready. Has he ever spoken to you through his written word, the Bible? Lots of people say, I don't hear God's voice. And the good question is, well, have you gotten into the word? Now, I know getting into the Bible for some people can be really hard. But I tell you, God's word, his voice can come through those scriptures. Without a doubt, there's so many times I start to read, it's a little bit of a battle. You know what? You got to push through. Okay, I know this is kind of strange to talk about the flesh. How many know what the flesh is? There's this nature within us that does not want to hear the word of God. You know what, though? That's just part of falling in love, a relationship. Everything's not always easy. You know, with my wife, I could say anything right now. You know what? If I always just came to her, I just talked about me all the time, what I liked, and I talked to her for 30 minutes, and I just, yep, it's all about me. What kind of relationship would that be? How long would that marriage even last? You know what? I have to come to her. I have to, you know, even if it's not what I'm feeling that day, I am in a relationship. And I say, talk to me, baby. I don't want to talk. Oh, good. So I just go back. Of course I want to talk. No, that doesn't happen. But, you know, you got to push through. So it's the same with the word, okay? Come to the word. Say, I want a relationship with you, God. Start reading and you're going to start hearing. He speaks through the scriptures. So here's a prayer that you can pray right before you read the Bible, okay? Lord, at this moment, I don't want to read an old book. At this moment, I'm not interested in ancient Eastern literature. I want to hear your living voice speaking to me. And if God is really grumpy, he'll make you read for hours. But of course, God's not like that. He will speak to you. If you say that to him, he's going to say, of course, just start reading. Just start going. I'll start speaking. Number three. Ready for the third survey? Have you ever felt like God was speaking to you through a preacher? Or through an evangelist? Or through a teacher? Through your parent? Maybe it's even through a child. Have you ever been sitting in church? What's the Lord saying through that baby right now? Saying, I want some food. Lunch is soon. Have you ever heard God through a preacher? Have you ever been sitting in church, you're holding your Bible, and you feel like you want to grab a highlighter and highlight something? You just get that something. That's a testimony that God spoke to your heart. That moment, that time you make a note, you just write something down, that's not just because a preacher's talking about it. It's not just because a teacher is talking about it. That's because God is speaking to your heart. He's illuminating something, something in his word. And that's something, that's a testimony that God spoke to you. Another one. Have you ever heard God or felt his presence or sensed his nearness during worship? You can even get it during top 40. I mean, I feel like I hear God better with worship. That's just how I am. Even in the Old Testament, there's this guy, Elisha. The kings come to him and they demand, like, prophesy. Give us a prophecy. And he's like, get me a harpist. Because that was his thing as well. He could hear God better in the place of worship, in the place of music. So often, when I'm about to prepare a sermon, whether it's good or not, you just say it's good. It's good. All right. So good. I need affirmation. Just kidding. I love God. It's pretty much if my wife says good, I'm like, sweet. It was a good Sunday. So I come to God and to the Word, and I could try for like 10 hours sometimes to write a sermon, and it feels just like no life to it. Or I can spend just like 10 minutes before I start reading the word in worship. I just throw on some Bethel. I throw on some Jesus culture, whatever, and I just start listening. Man, I just start to like feel what God starts to feel. I start to have God thoughts. That's the place that I want to have a sermon out of. That's where I want to live life out of. Kaboom. I just added, that's a good revy. So like, it's not just about preaching. Man, that's how life should always be. You know, this Christianity is not just here on Sunday morning, is it? It's a place that we get to walk and talk with God. Sometimes we just got to start thinking about Him. Start to realize, man, I'm starting to have higher thoughts. I start to feel like, man, I have the mind of Christ. And at some place, you're going to be like Paul. You're going to be like, it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. That's the place that we get to go to. That's not just for people that only fast and pray and live. That's for all of us. You know, the Bible was a bunch of guys like Peter, who I don't know how well he did in school, but he couldn't be a rabbi. These are just fishermen. These are just regular average Joes. That's us. If it was supposed to be so hard to hear from God, it would only be a few elite that could hear from God. Then why would Jesus solely just die for those 100 people that get to hear Him? I'm going to just die for the people that work their tush off. You know, God died for all of us, for it to be simple for us to come to Him. You know, He's your friend. Just like you talk to your friend. Talk to him about your day. Talk to him about what you're into. And then start asking him some of his thoughts. If you're like me, you're having a coffee, you can have coffee with Jesus at the same time. All right. You guys think I'm going crazy right now?
Preach it.
All right. Here's another question. Do you ever get a burden to pray for somebody else? Do you ever get a burden? Where do you think that comes from? You know, I'm sure every one of you is just the most compassionate folk in the world. You're just the kindest hearts. But at the root of feeling prayer for somebody, at the root of that is God speaking to your heart. He's showing you His love for others. You know, everything that you do, even baking cookies for somebody, that in your heart, that's not just Brock. This love within me is because God is living and He's speaking through me. He's given me thoughts. He's given me ideas. Cookies. Cookies is God speaking to you. I feel like I'm getting off track, guys. But seriously, cookies. When you're sensing those promptings from the Lord, when you're sensing that, man, I just want to love on somebody, those nudges, that counts. That counts as God speaking to you.
Yeah.
And here's one more way. Have you ever heard God through this word? We call it conviction. Have you ever heard this? So God is calling you away from self-destruction and away from harming others. That sounds a lot like love to me. Don't hurt that person. Don't hurt yourself. That little bit of conviction in my heart, that's God speaking. And just so you know what I'm talking about, some of us open our hearts to accusation, condemnation, the voice of self-hatred. That's not the voice of God, just so we're clear. He doesn't speak that way. He doesn't pound on you to hate yourself. In fact, He quite loves you. So conviction of sin is simply an invitation to freedom and getting over something. Okay. So, as I've been asking you these questions, how many of you have to say, yes, I've heard the voice of God? How many of you said, yes, I've heard the invitation to come into His family? Yes. He's somehow spoken to me through the Word, through the Scriptures, or through a song. Yeah, I was listening to a preacher, and I felt something special enter my heart. God spoke to me through a sermon. That's good news. Have you ever felt called to pray for somebody? How many in this room? Yeah, that's God speaking to you. That's God touching your heart. So God is available to speak to us. So that could be pretty much the end. I'm going to take just one more minute. We can bring the band up. I want to talk to just a few more scriptures. So John 14, he talks about beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So I want to just talk about this word, lo and behold. We have this. Have you ever heard, behold Christ? And lo, I am with you always. Have you heard that scripture? So if you take the words lo and behold, do you want to know what the Bible says about what those words mean? Lo. Gaze on purpose and with love, using the eyes of your heart, especially on the Lord Jesus. So when these words are being said, lo, it's just pretty much short for saying look. So lo, I am with you always. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your face. Of your face. Of your faith.
Hallelujah.
That's silly. That's it. So you can come before his throne. Men would come before God, and it was almost like they pictured a throne. So even as you come to God throughout the week, that's one thing I do a lot. So I start to just picture Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're picturing Caucasian Jesus, olive skin Jesus, black Jesus. It doesn't matter, okay? You just come to that picture of Jesus in your mind, and you just say, God, seated on the throne, Jesus, I come to you right now. Other people in the Word would talk about a banqueting table that they felt like they were at. Just pretend like you're sharing a meal with the Lord. Just sit at a table with Him and start talking to Him. It's available for us. So Hebrews 12 says, I pray the eyes of your heart would be open to see. Colossians 3:1 says, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated. Revelation 3:18, we see Jesus commanding us to put on eye salve so that we can see. And then immediately it says, behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. So what does it say? Behold. I don't know if it's up there. Yeah, that's awesome. So let's go back to what behold means in that previous slide, if we can. Behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. So Jesus is knocking at your door right now. And what does he say? Behold. He says, gaze on purpose and with love, using your eyes of your heart, especially on the Lord Jesus. Gaze at him with love. Yeah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then Revelation 4:1-2 says, John says, okay, so I looked and there was this door standing open. And the voice I heard said to me, come up here. And immediately John was in the throne room of God. So God is knocking on your heart. So as you start to hear his voice, as you start to have those promptings, whether or not the promptings come first or you just start to focus on God, he is standing at the door and knocking on your heart. Do you believe that this morning? That's good news. Finally, before we go this morning, can we have some nice tinkling on the piano? So prayer helps heal emotional and spiritual hurts. So now that we know that we are hearing God, we know that now. We are hearing him in the place in our hearts. We're seeing him with the eyes of our heart. Wouldn't he also want to be the Lord of the hurts in our lives? Yes, he would. There's a place that we have maybe shame and anger, and there may be a valley of the shadow of death in your heart, but God says, lo, I am with you always. This is Jesus. Lo, I am with you always. He says, look to me. Gaze upon me with love. I'm standing here. He says, always. So always means look with the eye. So lo means look with the eyes of your heart. Always means always has been, and he always will be with you. See, always includes my painful past. D, he commanded us to look for Jesus in those places and to welcome him into those places in our hearts. How? By asking, even simply, Lord, where were you in those times? Would you show me? Would you show me how you are with me always? What do I need to know there? What do you want to do there? Forgiveness of sin and removal of sorrow is part of what Jesus came for. Isaiah 61, we read a prophecy. It says, the Messiah will lift away burdens and give us gifts in their place. He speaks truth to our lives. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. So he frees us from bondage, every kind of bondage. Luke 4, we see that the ministry of Jesus that the Father sent him to do. He says, later on, Jesus says in John 20, verse 21, he says, as the Father sent me in the same way, I'm sending you. That same relationship that he had with the Father, he says, guess what, boys? In the same way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. That's the whole purpose of seeing dream come to life in Saskatoon. Love the Father, love God, and love your neighbor. The same way Jesus lived, he says, I'm sending you to live that same way. But you get to live the same way I lived, is what Jesus is saying. You get to have the same relationship with the Father. I'm making that available to you right now. You can hear him. You can walk with him. Powerful. So this week, let's stop and listen. Allow our hearts to see and hear him. We'll start to walk into situations where people can receive healing, where they can be delivered. People will be transformed. And let's just start to listen a little more attentively to Jesus. Amen. Can we do that this week? Amen. Can we sing together? We're going to sing Our Father.